This is Japan Baseball Weekly. News, interviews, analysis, and your questions, all about NPB. And now your hosts, Johnny Gibson and Jim Allen.
Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly podcast. It's for the week of July 29th. I'm John Gibson, and with me early on a frantic Saturday morning is my buddy Jim Allen and our friend Claudio Rodriguez joining us from Toronto for our mid-season special. Good morning, guys, and good evening to you, Claudio.
Thank you. It's a pleasure being here.
Yeah, great to have you. And are you sure today's not Sunday?
It's a day that starts with S and ends in Y, so you're close.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, that's the closest I've been this week, so.
All right. Well, on this week's show, we're really going to look at the All-Star Game Series. We're going to have a conversation about that. Claudio is joining us for a mid-season special, so we'll talk about what we've seen so far this season in terms of surprises, in terms of MVPs, in terms of the top rookies or anybody, anything you want to talk about. So let's start swinging.
Clearing the bases!
All right, so This All-Star Game Series was a case of the half stars, because I think some of the players were stars and others weren't, especially in Game 2. It was like we had a bunch of guys who are maybe mostly starters. I think even Ryosuke Tatsumi for the Rakuten Eagles is not even a regular player, so it was just kind of weird. Claudio, what was your overall impression of the All-Star Series?
Well, didn't have the chance to watch full games, but my impression was that the pitchers took the week off. There was so many runs, like whoever was there, it doesn't matter how good it was, he was allowing at least a run per inning, and sometimes a lot more. So it's like the hitters were having a feast on those on both games. So it was interesting, but yeah, pitching wise, I think that was the biggest impression. These guys are on vacation, all of them. They just came to take pictures and do other stuff, because the pitching wise, they were really struggling. So
agreed.
That was my main takeaway.
Jim,
I was thinking that Japan's been struggling with the quality of its baseballs this year, They probably I have heard, but you don't know if it's true or not, that they've been using the balls they were planning to use next year. They've already started introducing those.
They cracked open those boxes, huh?
Okay. Exactly. And my guess is that they not only took some of those balls, but they dried them out so that they would be less moist and less dense and fly farther. It happened one year when they had a storage issue about 10 years ago, and the balls had not been stored properly, and they were excessively dry and excessively lively, and people were going, "Hey, what is it with these baseballs?" My guess is that's what they did with these, just to make sure there would be home runs.
Well, I hear you, and part of me wants to agree with you, Jim. However, some of the pitches that were thrown, I don't care what kind of ball you're throwing, it's going out in the park.
True enough, but they were carrying like normal balls.
Yeah, but part of it was a warm night at Jingu. That might have had something to do with it, I think. Shogo Sakakura, he hit a home run to center that off the bat I didn't think really was that it was hit that well. So that one carried. But other than that, a lot of times they threw the balls in places where you and I could. I don't know about hitting home runs, but we could do some damage. We could visit the fence or something. It was not.
Speak for yourself.
I am, but I included you in there to be polite for once.
Yeah, well, no need to be fantastic or, going into pipe dreams.
All right. So game one was on Tuesday. That was at Eskong Field in Hokkaido, the second year ballpark. And 11-6, the Central League won that game, exploded all over that ugly and ridiculous Las Vegas Elvis Presley uniform that Fighters pitcher Sachiya Yamasaki wrapped around his body to start that game. He looked like some kind of freaky Christmas present, the one you don't want to open. But he got lit up. I mean, those uniforms, I hated them. I complained about them the first time I saw them. I don't know why. maybe Shinjo gave him a bonus or something to wear, you know, Tsuyoshi Shinjo, the manager, gave him an extra bonus to wear that uniform. I don't know what made him put that thing on.
Well, I think the fighters had a, you know, they had a thing. They had about eight different uniforms. They were wearing about eight different fighters' uniforms from the past.
Right.
And I think the team decided that they were going to wear every one and that Yamasaki drew the short straw. It's like, oh, man.
That's very possible. Now that you mention it, you know, it most likely that's what happened.
Yeah, I mean.
And so he set a couple of records. Well, he set one record on his own. And then he helped the Central League set a couple of records. So the record he set was that he was the first pitcher. He was the first designated hitter to get a hit and pitch an inning in a Major League All-Star game.
Okay, yeah.
So Ohtani's done both, but he didn't do it in the same game.
Yeah, that's good. And what about the bad?
Other pitchers have done it, but they haven't done it as a DH, so...
Right. So he got a hit. It was a nice hit too. It was not cheap. Yeah.
No, I mean he can hit. He's a legitimate hitter.
Yeah.
I mean he did it a little bit in Interleague this year, and last year in the Japan Series he stung the ball pretty well. He swung the bat really well. So anyway, so there's that, and then he came out and he allowed the Central League to set records with 10 hits in the second inning and 9 runs. So he was a record setter.
Yeah, I mean, and add the unspeakable trauma to children nationwide who didn't know those uniforms existed.
#
And thought that why is this man in his pajamas on the mound?
I know people. Funny enough, I know people who actually like those uniforms.
Yeah, we'll see. some of those people might need to go to rehab. We will talk off air.
That's hard.
No, but I mean, I don't particularly like those uniforms, but for me, they're not as bad as those picnic uniforms that Oryx used to wear a few years back.
Right.
Those were absolutely horrible. I don't know who came up with that idea, but
yeah,
it looked like a picnic cloth or something. I don't know. What are you doing with those uniforms?
Yeah, as I have said on this show many times, it's not the artist. You cannot blame the artist for coming up with wacky and crazy and new ideas. That's what they do. The person we have to get mad at is the person who looked at that and stamped, oh, those are great. Let's stamp that okay. That's the person I want to go to after, not the artist.
My least favorite ones are the denim carp uniforms.
You know, I would take those 1,000 times over these Elvis pajamas. But anyway...
Those are in fact my least favorite. I was talking about ones from the past, but okay.
So yeah, Shugo Maki was the MVP. He had a couple home runs, 3 RBIs. But all in all, for me, it was a snooze fest because I couldn't stop thinking, why is Noki Sasaki not here? This is not an all-star game. It's a half-star game again. The guy should be out there and Yamasaki is out there on the mound giving up runs, getting shelled, and he's smiling. He's like, you know, wow, I can't believe that fastball right down the middle, thigh high, got hit. You know, he's like laughing and chuckling. So they had a good time. But
no, I see he was smiling because he was thinking, I wish I could hit it.
I wish I could throw it to myself like that.
Exactly.
So, yeah. All right. So then game two at Jingu the next night ends 16-10. The Pacific League wins, so both teams win on the road, so to speak. And seriously, Toshiya Sato, a guy who's, again, not a regular. He's not really the regular catcher for the Lotte Marines, but he's the guy who just goes wild. He wins the MVP, has 5 hits, and he had the game of his life, I think. His game went single, double, triple, so all he needed was a home run for Jim's favorite, quote-unquote, stat in baseball. And then that was his first 3 at-bats, single, double, triple. Then he struck out, then double to end the game. So 5 hits, 2 RBIs. It was a slugfest. It was hard to watch. And I actually admit hitting the fast forward button a few times between pitches in this game. But Claudio, what did you, I'm assuming you didn't get to see much from this game, but what did you take away from the stats and everything?
Well, I mean, the the sheer amount of runs and home runs, and you know, again, it's slugfest. Pitchers weren't doing much. It's weird. I don't know. I mean, I'm guessing it was fun for the fans to watch, and you know, so many runs in a game and stuff. But at some point, you're just like, okay, hurry up, let's get this thing over with. Why are we still here scoring so many runs? So you know, it was okay. It was interesting. It's just that, you know, again, the pitching wasn't really effective in the whole series.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Jim?
What struck me was the announcers talking about the hitters and saying, wow, let's see if this carries, you know, this could carry over into the second half of the season. And, you know, usually you just take that and you look for the nearest wastebasket. because it's, you know, it's just stuff. It's, you know, go put that under the heading of things announcers say because they're required to open their jaws and spit out language. We had three players hit two home runs in the series, the aforementioned Maki, and then we had a Hiromi Oka, which was cool because he's a former fighter, so he got to hit one in front of his former fans,
but in a new park. Yeah,
in a new park, right? And then Munetaka Murakami, and he hit, you know, he hit his home runs, and I was thinking, okay, well, good. We'll get to see two home runs from him in July. I think he only had one coming in July.
Right. Yeah.
And then
he goes Oppo. Don't
and
forget.
Then goodness gracious. And then goodness gracious. First game back after the All-Star game, and he hits two. And I'm going like, God, an announcer. One of these All-Star game announcers said something that actually made sense. By accident. He couldn't have possibly known.
Who would? But yeah. I, you know, the Oka home run, the opposite field shot he hits, and he hit it pretty well. I can't say he didn't get a lot of it, but I'm like, okay, that looked a little bit weird. So that on that home run, definitely you have a point with the new balls or next year's balls being cracked open early here in the 24 season. But again, a lot of the pitching was just, as Claudio said, it's like, a room service fastball here, a room service curve here. Sir, would you like a slider to go with that, those RBIs? I mean, you know, it was just...
Yeah.
So, okay, well, the one last thing for me, and was my moment of the series, and probably my moment right now of the season, is rookie Ryuki Watarai of DeNA getting a hit and his first All-Star game with his father in the crowd at Jingu. And I'm assuming that was his first hit in an All-Star game. And I'm assuming his father was taking his video with the smartphone, and his father used to play with the Swallows years ago. So that was really a touching moment, kind of poignant for me. So, and you know, I like Watarai, and we'll talk about him next in our mid-season special breakdown here, but...
My favorite was also involved Watarai when Domingo Santana cost him a sacrifice fly because he forgot how many outs there were.
Well, yes, cost him a sacrifice fly. So let's talk about that for a second. He didn't forget how many outs there were. He's injured. And he actually, the announcer said, he wasn't on the roster.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Wasn't on the roster for the Swallows at the time in the All-Star game, but he wanted to appear in the All-Star game.
Okay, now I missed that part because I had to have the sound off. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they said so that, and then so not only did he cost Watarai an RBI, he cost him batting average points because it would not have counted against his batting average had he gotten the sac fly. So he cost him an RBI and an out. And he cost the team a run. So yeah, it was quite a
moment. It didn't cost him a run because then Shogo Sakura hit 100 grand slam. So
I mean, in the long run, but wasn't that the two out grand slam, right? So it looked like it was going to cost him a run. But so yeah, I thought that was interesting. You are correct. So yeah, but I'm like,
he bowed on him. You know, he did the right thing.
He said, "Yeah, I'm sorry. I can't run." Was basically
okay.
What he
that
saying.
Was that. Okay.
I can't do anything. And
it wasn't going to be
like,
the first time.
Yeah, you could have limped home with that one, literally. And he's like, "Man, I can't risk it, you know."
Watarai's got his mouth open. He's going like, "Dude,
like, bro, yeah, help a rookie out." okay, all right. Well, they were fun, sort of. I wasn't all that impressed. My finger was on the fast forward button a lot on that second game, but I got through it, and we're here. So they split.
I have to make an apology to my blog readers that I was writing about the games, but I just couldn't bring myself. Well, that and being busy with the day job, I couldn't bring myself to post a blog about these games. Just like no matter what it was, I just couldn't like put it on the page and format it. It was like, oh, too much work for this stuff.
If you can't say something nice, yes.
yeah. I mean, I can always say something nice. That's who I am. But
oh, really? I'd like to meet that guy.
Hashtag high heat.
Oh, we got a smile from him at least. Yay, we got a smile. All right. Making a smiling four-seam transition. Let's talk about our impressions from the first half of the season. So, in essence, I sent you guys a message during the week, said I want to know your front runners for Sawamura Award, your surprises, your top rookies, and blah 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 blah. So let's go down the line. Where do you want to start, Claudio? Where do you want to start?
Well, we can start with the surprises.
Okay.
You know, the Central League has been very very close. It's a close race, which makes it interesting. One of my biggest surprises that I want to talk about is I think Takahiro Arai deserves a lot of credit as a manager. He's in his second year with the Carp. Mm. He did pretty well last year, and I thought he overachieved. And my prediction for this year was the team wasn't going to do that well because, you know, they got rid of all their foreigners.
Mm-hmm.
They lost Ryoma Nishikawa, who went to Oryx. And I thought, okay, these guys this year, they're not going to do that well because, you know, they overachieved last year. They lost a key player this year. They lost all their foreigners. I don't think that they're going to do well, but they're doing well. They were in first place. They're fighting for the title. The same players that were there before are performing better, especially the pitchers. So it's like, you know, this guy has to be doing something that's causing these players that have been there for years performing okay, but not as well as now, all of a sudden they're unhittable, especially the pitchers, the starters, are having an amazing season. And so something, he must be doing something right that has the team still fighting there for the title, just one game out of first place, was in first place for a while. Still has a chance to be, you know, a Central League champion. I don't know what he's doing, but he deserves a credit. Like, he's doing something that right, that he's motivating the players somehow that they are performing better this year, and I think that's amazing. It's a story that maybe nobody's talking a lot about it, but I think it deserves attention. This guy's, you know, doing something right. It's amazing how well the Carp have been playing and how many games they have been winning like they did last year. And again, when everything seems to indicate that, they're not going to perform as well this year, they're performing even better. So it's amazing. I'm really, really surprised with that.
Yeah, to be fair, I think they did well last season, and I think Jim had them finishing really high last season, his prediction, and I kind of scoffed at that last season, and then this year I had them finishing kind of high. And I actually was expecting a little bit better on the pitching front from them in terms of all their starters contributing each, you know, the frontline starters contributing each week. What do you think about that, Jim? I think that's a good maybe a nugget of information that probably isn't out there, that Claudio is right, that isn't out there in terms of, we hear whenever the teams are doing really well, we hear, you know, Arai magic, or we hear something like to that effect, where the press is nicknaming or giving the managers influence, or just talking about how they're influencing the team and how they're impacting wins. But we don't hear so much of that coming out of Hiroshima.
Well, the Carp are they're primarily, I think they're well suited to this year's context, in that they're essentially a pitching and defense team. The pitching has been occasionally spectacular, but they essentially put the ball in play and the guys catch it. They did lose Nishikawa, but they had essentially everybody. They have a very good average lineup.
Mm-hmm.
They have good production off. They've been a little lucky in terms of how well they've hit with runners in scoring position, which I know is sort of, I don't know what it is about the Carp, but it's sort of like every year the Carp are like, the story about the Carp is, well, we would have won the pennant if we'd hit, you know, if we'd hit a little better with runners in scoring position. And they hit low. Okay, let's say they hit 260 as a team and they hit 290 with scoring position. If we'd hit 350, we would have won the pennant. I'm going, yeah, but that's not what happens. I mean, it does happen with individuals because of small sample size, but it's not really normal. But I think that is one thing that has helped them. The pitching has generally been reliable in the sense that Ryoji Kuribayashi has in the bullpen has been really good at not completely destroying save opportunity.
There you go.
You know, yeah. That's the thing. They're really up there. They're kind of by a thread, but things have worked out well. They've been a little lucky, and they've got a team that doesn't essentially gets on base, plays. They're very alert. They don't make as many dumb errors as their opponents. I think that's, you know, that's, they're a small ball team in a small ball year.
Yeah. I mean, I like the team coming into the season, so I'm not as surprised at maybe some of the overall results. I don't think they have been hitting that well. They haven't been pitching great. They're just very middle of the pack in a lot of areas, but they're getting a lot of quality starts.
Yeah, they're consistently good. They're not great, but they're consistently good.
Yeah,
they've gotten, you know, and every now and then a pitcher will blow up. Alan Curry's had a few of those. He's had a couple of really good games and a couple of blow ups, but they're better. Their starting pitcher has been consistently average. And if you can keep opponents to scoring, you know, 2.5 runs a game, 6 times a week or 4 times a week, you're going to win a lot of games just by being normal.
Yeah, and their quality start average 72%+ leads Japan. So
that's exactly my point. They're very average, but if you can stay at that middle line like they have, which is a kind of a tightrope walk and very unusual, you're going to win some games.
Yeah, and they're doing it. So I think part of it, Claudia, I do think Arai is doing a good job, but I think the players, and I liked what he did last year, so I wasn't surprised that they're doing a little bit better. And I'm just conversely shocked. My surprise is the Bay Stars. I didn't think they'd be competing for actual Central League title. I thought they'd be in the playoff race, but I didn't think they'd be, you know, close enough to breathe on the first place team. But the surprise for me is how bad the Hanshin Tigers have played. And Jim talked about consistency with the Carp. It's the opposite situation for the Tigers. They don't catch the ball when they should. They don't hit the ball when they have opportunities. They don't pitch, you know, they don't make the pitches they need to make in certain areas. There are breakdowns left, right, in the middle. You know, they're having one of the worst situations play out. And yet that team at one game over 500, I believe, still in the title hunt because no one can break away from the pack anyway in this league. And a couple wins here and there can do it for you. So, I really like what the Bay Stars are doing, but I'm shocked at how poorly Hanshin has played this season. And as much as I really want to say great things about the Bay Stars, the stats and the numbers about the Bay Stars don't really, with a winner, you know, with a pennant winning team, they make too many errors. The one thing that they do that they haven't done, and I think Michael Westbay is probably thrilled to see this, is they've been stealing more bases this season, and they have the same number of steals as the Carp. And Michael always used to say, I'm jealous of the way the Carp team runs the bases. They steal a lot of bases. Well, Michael, you don't have to be jealous anymore. You're right there with them in terms of stolen bases. Your team is. But that hasn't translated so much to actual wins. You know, they have a lot of runs, and they're leading the Central League in runs scored. Now the Bay Stars are, but you know, that has to translate to wins, and it just hasn't enough. But Hanshin being one game over 500 and just struggling the way that team has, that's my biggest shock. Jim, you have a particular shock? Surprise?
Well, I'm shocked up and down the line pretty much. The Carp are probably the Carp and the Dragons are the teams that really haven't shocked me. The Giants, I'll talk about the Giants for a minute because I don't know, anything shocked me about them, but I'm always pleasantly surprised and annoyed by them, as sort of simultaneously, which is, well, I guess, typical fandom. If I were a Giants fan, I would certainly sympathize.
Ambivalence, yes.
Yeah, but they've got all these, you know, it's hard to, the thing about the Giants is hard to pin down, you know, what their story is, other than Abe likes to use lots of different players. He's really in the mold. I think he was watching the Buffaloes win the last 3 years and going, oh, that's a secret. You get, you know, we've got 70 guys on the roster. Let's see how many of them we can use. And they have had some injuries, and I know the plan. You know, he's flexible, which is well, I guess you have to be flexible because you have to put 9 guys out there, and when people are hurt, you have to move them around. I mean, Kazuma Okamoto was going to be the first baseman. He was in left field yesterday. Takumi Oshiro was going to be the starting catcher, but he didn't hit at the start of the season. He comes back from the farm team, and now he's on first base. And Hayato Sakamoto, who is really, for me, is the key to the Giants, has had a really hard season.
Wait a second. Hayato Sakamoto is the key to the Giants with all the other guys and the pitchers who are doing so well and Elier Hernandez and all those guys playing so well. And you think it's a guy who's struggling?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's not the guy. He's the guy who, you know, I hate to say this, but I sound a lot like Wayne Grassick when I say this.
God rest his soul.
Because he used to say things that made no sense to me, like once Kyoshi Nakahata was, you know, the Giants just play better when he does well, but the Giants do play better when Hayato Sakamoto is healthy. They seem to gel when he's healthy and contributing, which is usually, it's very rare that he's healthy and not contributing, but True. This year it's been a real challenge for him. And not all of that is due to third base, but he is really the team leader. I mean, he's no longer the captain, but he really is the team leader. And I think he gives that team a sort of, he's sort of an anchor for that team. And that without him, they seem a little lost. Like, you know, we got all these good players and, but they seem to drift. And when he's there and he's just getting a single and he's making, you know, makes the routine plays, the Giants are a more solid team than a collection of good players. And so I think that is, it's really important for them. And I think actually that's something they have to get over. I think they do have a dependency issue with Hayato Sakamoto, and that's why he is the key. It's not so much that he's a really, really good player anymore, although he has that possibility to, you know, to pull out a Toshiro Miyazaki season, I believe. Still, he's got a couple of those left in him. But no, I don't think it's him as much as the team depends on him more than. I think it's an issue of self-belief there.
Yeah, I think, you know, he can have a moment. He doesn't even have to have a season. He just has to have a few moments here and there. You had the Tigers, Bay Stars, and Swallows in your top three, Jim. Claudio had the Swallows at the top, and then the Tigers and Giants, and I had the Tigers, Carp, and Giants. So, I mean, we think the Giants, I mean, Jim, you had them fourth, the Giants you did. So, I mean, we had respect for them. I was expecting them to operate in a better fashion under Shinnosuke Abe, the new manager, but I don't know.
Well, I see good things. You know, I see good things, and I see
head scratchers.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I like. There's lots of things I like about Aave, and there's the other things that I wonder why are the Giants still doing this. But that's, you know, not if I probably if I really looked into every single game and looked at the playing moves he made, I could probably figure a pattern. I've been able to do that generally.
Mm-hmm.
When I've tried, I just lack the energy to do it. But yeah, he uses lots of players, and most of them are pretty good. I know guys, Makoto Kadowaki has had some fitness issues, and then they plug in Yuta Iguchi.
Mm-hmm. Well, they have been, at second
yeah,
base.
He's
they,
been
they,
good.
Yeah, Naoki Yoshikawa at second base has been a steady a fixture there. So
I know.
To speak.
I know. That's sort of like. That's so
weird.
Non-giant. Yeah, I know. Well, but Hara actually found it. You know, it took Hara 13 years, but he found a second baseman.
I thought you were going to say Hara is going to go to Tokyo Dome one day and just hit him on the leg and injure so he can't play a couple games or something just to get him out.
No.
Come here,
like,
second baseman. I don't care what your name is. You're coming off the field. Whack him on the leg.
I don't know. He was like this, you know, wandering around. It's like finding the Giants having a second baseman is like having finding the ghost of a Spanish conquistador wandering around the American Southwest looking for El Dorado and finally finding it after 300 years.
If I were Yoshikawa, I'd just watch out and make sure not to get Tanya Harding'd. You know, back there somewhere.
that was kind of my surprise because they've played better. And of course, they played better in many ways than I expected, but still not doing well. The Swallows have been a surprise just because the pitching has just continued to struggle. I expected them to be over that a little bit, and the injuries. They're basically now going through a second straight season without Xiaomi in center field, and that bothers them. And of course, Munetaka Murakami has, I don't want to say what is wrong or what has been wrong, but he has not adjusted to the situation that he needs to produce in.
Yeah,
that's just a fact, and so his I don't know if I mentioned this before, but in 2022 he had a season very much like Vladimir Ballantyne's 2013 season, where he was making excellent contact, spraying the ball all over the field, and hitting the ball in the seats frequently. He was making excellent contact and or hard contact virtually every at bat. And now his contact has basically gone out the window.
Yeah.
Is just terrible. And so whatever he's doing, he has been doing, it has not been producing results. And that doesn't mean he couldn't have a second half like nobody's business, or, you know, the misnamed second half, since it's kind of the last 40% of the season.
Yeah.
But
sure.
We'll see.
All right.
We'll see. So the Swallows, yeah, they're a surprise.
No, I mean, they're not a surprise to me. Neither are the Dragons. We didn't see a lot coming into the season, and we haven't seen a lot during the season. And if the Dragons are going to play Sho Nakata and they're going to send up Hiroyuki Nakajima as a pinch hitter to try to win games, I mean, you know, those clown uniforms that they had in Hokkaido should be reserved for the Dragons, but we've got to move on and we're not going to finish here. So your front runners for top rookies, let's start there in the Central League, Claudio.
Oh, wait, hold on. Before we...
Oh, I'm sorry.
Because we only talked about Central League. I just wanted to mention quickly a couple of surprises for the Pacific League. I want to mention first Livan Moinelo. I think he has been an extraordinary success as a starter.
Yes.
I didn't expect it to go that well because I remember the case with Robert Suarez, who was a good reliever with SoftBank. They tried to turn him into a starter in 2019. It didn't work, and then they released him at the end of the year. The Tigers picked him up, and then he became this fabulous closer for them. So when they came up with a plan, okay, let's convert Moinelo to a starter, I thought, okay, this may not go well. And I was scared that, he had had such a great career until now. If you convert him to a starter, maybe it doesn't work. And then, you know, what do you do with him? But he's been fantastic. He's leading the PL in ERA. He's second in strikeouts. He's had, out of 16 starts, 15 has been quality starts. He has gone at least 7 innings in like 11 of those starts. Like, he's been fantastic as a starter. And I'm really happy for him. He's a really cool guy. I've talked to him a few times, and it's really, really nice. And he was great as a reliever. I loved him as a reliever. And I thought, hey, I don't know if it's a good idea to put him as a starter, but he's been fantastic. And the other I wanted to mention quickly is Neftali Soto. He's having this resurrection, this new
a renaissance,
new
yeah.
career, new start for him, as because he had been producing very little in the past few years. And I thought when the Bay Stars released him last year, I thought, okay, it's over for him. He's not going to come back to Japan. But the Marines gave him the chance, and he's fantastic. He's leading the PL in RBIs this year, and it's been hitting the ball well. He's hitting more home runs. So I'm really excited for both of them. I thought there were good surprises this year.
Yeah, with Soto, we did an interview with him earlier this season, and it seems like not only did the Marines introduce him to right field, they set him up with a nice luxury suite over there in right field, and he's been visiting very, very often. So I'm glad about that. And I don't think there really have been much. There has been much of a surprise in the Pacific League. If there were one, I would say it's the Fighters, because of how competent the team has been and how fine it's been operating. Shun Mizutani is really stepping up for the Fighters, and what's the brother's name?
Chusei Manami,
I think it has been, I talked about his defense all the time. He's starting to finally come around with the bat. And again, I teased that they have 3 catchers on the infield because they play 2 guys at the corners, the infield corners, who are former catchers. But even that is starting to work out for them. So, I'm liking what I'm seeing with the Fighters. And if there was a bit of a surprise, it would be the Fighters. But I had them contending for a playoff spot right up until the end of the season. And this is the business end of the season now. The kind of teams that have been floating around and being a pain sort of start to sink in the second half a little bit. And it only takes a little bit, a couple games here and there where there's just not as much oomph with the team, and it cost them a couple games here and there, and we might see a little bit of that. But I really haven't seen that much of a surprise in the Pacific League, Jim.
Well, my surprise is how good SoftBank is. I mean, I expected them to be good, but I didn't expect them to be a team that would lose. You know, just to have a sort of a, you know, very little production from their biggest name starting pitchers coming into the season. Now Higashihama and, you know, I don't want to say Shuta Ishikawa is a big name, but now Higashihama has certainly been a non-factor. And Tomoki Sozeki has been kind of a little blah.
Carter Stewart has stepped up, though.
I expected that, but I didn't expect the whole pitching to be as good. Levon Mionello, of course, I did kind of, you know, he was that wild card. My opinion, well, Robert Suarez is probably not although they're both coming off injuries, although Suarez was coming off Tommy John and he wasn't quite really over it and ready for when the Hawks expected him to be. Whereas Moinelo, I think, had shoulder cleaning. But he,
yeah.
Okay, so that's a little different. And he was more of a complete pitcher, I think, even as a reliever than Suarez was. But Carter Stewart, I did expected to see what we're seeing this year. I expected to see that last year. It didn't happen because these things don't happen overnight. Sometimes they do, but generally not. So no, but I was surprised by guys like Masaki, Tomoya Masaki.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got to have more guys with two first names.
Yeah, I think what you're getting to is that the surprise is that they've been able to operate at this level despite all the injuries and having to replace a lot of bodies.
So that's that. Yeah. So that level is something. Oryx has surprised me by their sort of, I know that it's like they walked into a time machine and forgot how to play baseball some days.
Mm.
You know, that's like we're seeing the Buffaloes of 2016. Some games, you know, where you don't know why these guys are professional athletes playing the way they are in defense and running the bases. And then you go, oh, it's Oryx. And it's like, yeah, but I thought we were done with this show.
Yeah.
So that's been a bit of a surprise, but the Fighters have been the real surprise. And I suppose I'm not surprised by the talent on the field, but sure. I have, you know, the one that surprised me, and I said it before the season, was the Shinjo mute button. And I think that has been a key. I really think he has been I know people are going to burn me in effigy for saying this, but he's been a big addition to the Fighters for two reasons. One, when he came, he was the manager who wasn't going to torch players for not being perfect at something trivial,
mm-hmm.
which is the Japanese way of baseball. You find out what players can't do, and then you beat them up for it.
Sure.
As opposed to what they can do. You know, oh, sure, he can hit for power and average, but the way his throwing motion from first base is not suitable for a professional baseball player in Japan. So let's keep him on the farm team. You know, that's the standard operating procedure.
Right.
Unless the guy's top draft choice or something, and then, okay, he's the second coming. But Shinjo was the guy who was going to say, just go out and play.
Mm-hmm.
And it was ugly. And it was really ugly. And of course, part of the reason it was ugly is, and I don't know if it was a plan to take pressure off the players, all the stupidity. I think it was just Shinjo being Shinjo. But last year, the players, some of these guys showed they could play. This year, they definitely put a mute on him. They've definitely said, this year it's about the team, it's not about you. And he has been perfectly letting the team play. And I had a conversation with Kenichi Iwamoto, their international director, a couple of weeks ago. And he said he is very impressed with Shinjo's leadership ability. Now, this is something I wouldn't have been more surprised if a black hole opened up below me and sucked me into an alternate universe. But he said Shinjo is quietly attending all the meetings, paying careful attention, making astute points, pointing out, being very astute in his comments and judicial in the words he uses in teams meetings with individual players. And it's gone from let's all be celebrities like me to you guys be ball players and I can help.
Well, we got to move on, but I would like to say that he's the kind of personable guy who can do those things. He has charisma. And if nothing, the players know that you said he makes astute points. He's probably has looked at baseball from a different angle all his life. So if he can settle himself down personality wise and deliver that message and stay on point and not do all the superfluous things we don't need him to do and to be a clown out in front and just, you know, add a little personal touch now and then, but not be the focus that the team, we suspected that the team would do well. And he has turned into that kind of a manager. He has matured as a manager probably this year. So we got to move on, but I do like that point and I do agree and we're seeing it. And you know, I would be surprised if they make a run and come back and win the title, the pennant, but I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they get through the first round of the playoffs and get to the climax, the second stage of the climax series. So Anyway, we're going to run out of time here. We actually are on a clock today because we have lots of things to do. So let's go to the top rookies. So, Claudio, I want you to start with the Central League and who's your top, your front runner for Rookie of the Year so far.
Wow, I wasn't prepared for this, but I'm guessing Watanabe is a rookie, right? This is the first year for him?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. So I'm guessing it's going to be him because he's the one who everybody talks about and you know, and praises his great hitting and all the things he's doing. And, you know, for the little I've been able to watch, he's doing great. So I'm guessing he will be the front runner for that. Pitching-wise, is Saiki a rookie as well? Saiki's doing very well.
No, he's
not a rookie. Okay, so he wouldn't be on the run for that. So I guess Watanabe would be my candidate there.
Jim?
The other guy I like is Yuta Izuguchi if he played more. But, you know, you could say the same thing about Watanabe.
With the Giants?
Yeah, he's been good. The Giants have actually quite a few rookies who've been quite good. But again, the problem with the Giants is the same with Watanabe, of course. He'll probably be Rookie of the Year because I think a lot of people decided it the first three games of the year.
Yeah, very likely.
And forget the fact that he spent 2 months on the farm team after that.
Yes. Well, it wasn't 2 months, but yeah, it was
month.
It was some time.
So yeah. We'll see. We'll see how that goes. But
and
yeah,
still,
those are my guys.
Yeah, he's still not an adequate defensive player, let's say. He has his issues out there, but he's playing in a new format with balls hit at him in a different way. So he's still learning. So I'll give him a break on that front. But he is my guy as well. I like watching him. And for me in the Pacific League, it's Natsuki Takeuchi of the Cebu Lions, and that's probably about all. I mean, he's a runaway choice.
I don't think that there's really no other choice but him. Yeah. He's already had a Rookie of the Year season.
Yeah, and he's pitching like a veteran. You said you didn't prepare, Claudio. Did you have any ideas?
Well, I was thinking about Shun Mizutani, who has been doing well, but I don't know how. Like,
he's
because
not
he wasn't. He became a regular like mid-season. He hasn't been playing from the beginning, right? Or
no, he's been pretty much really early from about the middle of April.
Yeah,
but his problem is that he's a sixth-year player. So although he had no at bats, he has too much professional experience to be a Rookie of the Year.
A Rookie of the Year. That's right. Okay. You're right.
Yeah. He's older than we think.
he's just a marvelous player. And I'm shocked what a big guy he is standing next to him.
Still, it took him, he's a stiff, he's not a fluid mover.
He told me he's still suffering from the arm injury that cost him a season and a half with the Hawks and the farm team. And so still, like, his throwing arm is really not in tip-top shape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he you don't have to be a real fluid athlete for the position that he's playing in the outfield and to hit. And so he's proving that. So what about your Sawamura Award winner front runners? Or Sawamura Award front runners, Jim.
I have to go to my list here. I think the only guy I have is Hiroto Saiki, who won't win Rookie of the Year, but I think he might be the Sawamura Award winner this year.
Claudio?
In the terms of that, he's got the wins and the stuff to go with it.
Sure.
Complete games and the whole package.
Claudio?
I guess Saiki would be one of my candidates as well. I don't know. I think it's pretty close in the Central League. They have, you know, Oseda with that 0.82 ERA is very impressive. Morishita has been doing well. And Hiroki Tokoda has every single start has been a quality start, 16 out of 16 quality starts for him. His ERA is higher than the rest, but that's also an impressive number. That's not the case with Saiki and Oseda. So, you know, you never know. I guess we have to wait to see how they all end up. What are the numbers at the end of the season? But that's impressive as well. I mean, I would give him points just for that, just for the fact that every single start has been a quality start so far.
Yeah, but he gets to pitch against the Dragons sometimes. I mean, that's that's not fair. That's like a night off.
Hey, that still counts. Come on.
I think the thing is, though, Osiris, the problem with the Sawamura Award is it's not about who's the best pitcher.
It's about who reaches the most benchmarks.
It's about who is the most impressive starting pitcher. The guy who looks, you know, we had this discussion with Chris Johnson with the Hiroshima Carp, who had two virtually identical seasons.
Yeah.
And 1 year, they picked somebody, Kenta Maeda won the Sawamura instead of him. I think it was Kenta Maeda. And we're going like, you know, what about the ERA leader? You know, and they're going, well, it's not because he's a foreigner. And then the next year it was, oh, they picked a foreigner for Sawamura. And how did you adjust and how did you get better? Well, he had exactly the same season when he wasn't worthy the previous year. You know, you see that a lot. I mean, you see that a lot. I mean, Yuki Inagita probably should have three MVPs, but if you take a step back or you're injured in too many games, you know, people lose interest.
Yeah. So, I actually think the Sawamura Award winner committee is really going to have to fold itself into several types of pretzels to get through this, because Jim mentioned it here. It's who's the most impressive. Well, the most impressive is a guy who, if this happens, this ridiculous ERA, a sub-1 ERA for Osera, he should be the Sawamura Award winner because he had the most dominant season to keep teams, you know, from scoring a run off of him in every outing, just about, I mean, averaging. And then
the thing is, he doesn't strike guys out.
He doesn't strike guys out, though. That's why I'm saying they're going to fold themselves into different kinds of pretzels. But then you've got Saiki, who has the wins, and he has a lot of strikeouts to go with them, but he hasn't really been that impressive. His ERA is a little bit higher. So this will be a problem if Osada can keep his ERA down, because usually that's really what it's all about. But I think, you know, Saiki doesn't have he does have the complete games and the shutouts. So he's got four complete games, he's got three shutouts. Those always get the attention of the old curmudgeon crew.
So he's got the things ERA is one of the things, and you know, if it's spectacular, I mean, we have seen guys. Yu Darvish once hit all the was the only pitcher to hit. In fact, I've seen twice where two pitchers hit all the benchmarks and didn't win the award because somebody was so outstanding in some other category.
Mm-hmm.
Yu Darvish once hit all the benchmarks, and I think Kodai Senga once did also and didn't win the Sawamura Award. So it's going to happen. It will be interesting, but again, he's not really the type, and they're gonna I don't know who's gonna be on the committee this year. They had to replace the guy who first was kicked off the committee for being a jerk at the airport, and then who died. Choji Murata, who I miss because he was Jason and I's favorite, because he would say things straight off the cuff that were just gold.
Well, yeah. So, there's another guy, I think, Katsuki Azuma of the Bay Stars, who won a bunch of games in a row, and he's 8-1. You know, he has the
He was a good candidate last year.
Winning percentage. Yeah. And he's going to, you know, he's on pace to have a sub-2 ERA, which is totally within the realm. I know we talk about this ball, how it doesn't carry. So a guy with a sub-1 ERA throughout the whole season, I think they're going to have real trouble.
On the other hand, I see those guys going, wow, sub-1 ERA, screw context, it's lower than one.
Yes.
You know, it's like, who cares?
Yes.
You know, it's like, oh, the guy had 200 RBIs in it. You know, he had 200 RBIs in a season when everybody was hitting 380 with 40 bombs. You know, it's like, he came up with the bases loaded half the time. Oh, 200 RBIs, what a great season. You know, the context doesn't matter. I think if you get over 65 years old and you're a former ball player, screw context. I like that number. Yeah. Sue me.
Yeah. And then, you know, Levon Mainello is really like the best the PL can offer, I think. And he's behind in many categories, but I think if he holds steady,
If he pitches as well as he has in the first half and he continues to pitch, as he has, he could easily win it because his pitching has not been the problem. It's the fact that they haven't scored runs. A lot of the games where he's pitched. Except for the one time when they scored a zillion and saved him a win.
Yeah, so I'm thinking, yeah, different types of pretzels, they're going to have to fold themselves into the curmudgeon clan and try to come up with this thing. What about your front runners for the MVPs? And we'll close it out with this. Now, this is going to be a tough one too, especially in the Pacific League. But well, I guess in both leagues. But Claudio, who are you seeing as a front runner?
Well, I mean, it definitely depends on who wins at the end, because that's usually the formula where it's the most outstanding player of the team who wins the league championship.
Sure.
And we have like four teams that could win the Central League. So at this point, we really don't know who's going to win. And then out of that team, who will be the MVP. For the Hawks, you know, most likely they will win. So the MVP would come from them. You know, it could be Moinello. You never know. It could be Yamakawa Kondo.
Kondo should be the MVP.
Should be the MVP, clear. Yeah, for the Hawks. Moinello would be on the conversation, but Kondo should be the MVP there. But in the Central League, it's like, I don't know, depending on who wins, you know. There are a few candidates, you know, on each team, but it's like, again, we have to clear out first who's going to win the league, and then we'll find out who the MVP is going to be.
I think it could be if it's a Carp, Osera.
Yeah.
If it's the Giants, probably Kazuma Okamoto. If it's the Bay Stars, probably Shugo Maki or maybe Katsuki Azuma.
Or the guy who got injured, suffered a concussion in the All-Star game. Have you ever
Tyler
heard
Austin.
Of such a thing?
That's
Tyler Austin.
That's you just nailed, I don't want to say you nailed it on the head, but Tyler Austin is Tyler Austin.
I don't mean that
in any pejorative. He's just a marvelous player with a penchant for getting hurt.
Yeah,
It is part of who he is.
Yeah, he was in the field. He came on in the game in the fifth inning.
Took a bouncer.
And he took, in the ninth inning, he was playing first base, took a ball that just took a wild bounce and hit him. And it came off the bat of Yosuke Tatsumi of the Eagles, and he got a concussion. And so that kind of thing, you know, if he was said, yeah, he cracked a collarbone or something, we would know when to expect him back. But a concussion, I have no idea. And he was playing so well, he had hit a home run night.
He's a marvelous player. I mean, he's been so consistently good this year when he hasn't been hurt. But that is unfortunately, you know, you often hear people say, oh, he would have had such a great career if he hadn't been hurt all the time. But, you know, it is part of a player's profile, how they play, you know, what their physical attributes are, their you know, if they've got osteoporosis like Mickey Mantle, it's hard to be the greatest player ever, even if you're actually the greatest player ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
So my pick, I guess, would be Okamoto, and then I would go to Austin. And I still like what Domingo Santana has been doing all season. And even Jose Osuna has been pitching. I'm sorry, he has been hitting well recently. So I don't see either one of those players getting the award because I don't see the Swallows getting into contention. But it should be, you know, just like the Sawamura Award should be going to Noki Sasaki, and he's not around. Probably the Central League MVP should be going to Teruaki Sato, but he has played like he hasn't been around. And I don't know. I'm kind of the Tigers really have shocked me with their level of performance.
Last year, I have to say this because last year everything was about. Well, you know, this is the what I love about baseball is there's always I want to say half-assed explanations for everything. Last year it was, the Tigers are a good team because manager Okada gave them each a position and told them what to do, and they were good at it. Well, he did the same thing this year, and they're bad at it.
Yeah.
You know, so that wasn't the whole story. I think that was part of the story.
Sure.
But part of the story is also typically with good teams, with championship teams, and you know, people tend to have good years all at the same time. There is something about that too. And it's not saying, oh, they're trying to be bad, but some of it is just timing.
All right. Well, hopefully we covered everything because we got to go. We're running out of time here.
When you got to go, you got to go.
When you got to go, you got to go. But certainly has been an exciting season, and I think on both sides in the Pacific and the Central up to now, and I think it's only going to get better. And like I said, this is the business side of the season now. These kind of teams that have been floating around thinking that they're contenders are going to find out if they can really hold out and make a push in the second half. And I think some teams have used up all their bullpen value in the first half just to stay around. And I think we're going to see a little bit of separation in the Central League first, and then we're going to see a little bit more in the Pacific League next. Anyway, Claudio, we always appreciate you coming on and giving us your time. Thank you so much. And we had trouble getting the engine started today, but we got it going, and we thank you so much.
No, thank you, guys. It's always a pleasure, always a blast to be on the show and to talk about what's happening in MPV. So, yeah, we'll if we have a chance, we'll do another one for at the end of the season just to wrap up whatever happens here.
I look forward to that.
Yeah, and hopefully we can get this car on the road a little bit more smoothly. And Jim, always appreciate you getting
Zoom
up.
Yeah, wanted to crawl today.
Yeah, Jim, we always appreciate you as well getting up in the morning after working late nights and helping us out with your great information all the time. So thank you.
Indeed, my pleasure.
All right, guys. We have a couple questions on deck for High Heat, so we will get to at least one of them next week. But anyone who has a question, hit us up on x.com at JBW Podcast with the hashtag High Heat. Send an email to yakyujohn@gmail.com or hit us up on the Facebook page. We will talk to you next week. Enjoy your baseball.
See you at the ballpark.
Bye, everyone.
Follow the hosts on Twitter at JBW Podcast and at JBallAllen. Submit your questions with hashtag High Heat and listen for an answer in an upcoming episode.